So, how about rating this event so far? Meaning on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 meaning you never should have come. And 10 meaning you are so off the charts, zippity-doo-dah, fantastic feeling, wonderful that you were going to slip me $1,000 or tequila or something really juicy to say, Joe, I really want to give you more than you've ever asked for. So, 15, 20s, 50s and 20s? Really, off the charts. Because what I was going to say is, I can't even talk after saying that, after hearing that. If this is not a 9 or a 10, we still have time. You can tell me what you still need to get. What do you still need to hear? What do you still need to experience? What do you still need to feel? We still have all tomorrow. We have guest speakers. I have more surprises. I'm, of course, going to be here some of the day, depending on how it goes. But for the most part, here's your chance. If it's not a 9 or a 10, what is it? What are you missing? Now, I've already heard some of you think it's a 15 or 20. Uh-oh, here we go. Oh, interesting. She said I could get this to a 20, and I don't know what the 20 means, because, yes, she wants to know what the direct connection is between the coconut and the divine. Okay, when I was with Dr. Len last weekend, and one of the private moments I had with him, I told him about going through this weekend, and he said one of the things he wanted was a list of everybody's names. And if you remember, Suzanne, he did that with us for the people going to the dinner. He wanted a list of everybody's name. He wanted to know where it was being held, the time of day, the place. And he wanted to do his reading on it. He wanted to do his cleaning on it. So I asked Suzanne for a list of the names. I gave it to Dr. Len. He spent time going through every one of the names, all of your names. So he's met you on some level. And he did his cleaning and so forth. And he wrote back to me and he says, have everybody eat shredded organic coconut. He said, it will help you reconnect to the divine. Now, he is the first to say that some of the things he says are crazy. When I got in the car with him when he was taking me back to the airport, he said that he saw a wreath around my head. And he said, not like thorns or anything. He says, more like what Caesar or the Roman Empire people might have worn, the royalty might have worn. And he says, it looks like they're leaves. And he says, it looks like it's actually folded money and it's moving. And I thought, okay, you know, I don't see nothing, you know, because I didn't see what he was seeing. And after he said it, and he paused for dramatic emphasis, I guess, he said, okay, now we can drive to the psychiatrist because this is what schizophrenics say and what schizophrenics see, you know, which is very, of course, he's a doctor and he's worked with those people. So I just take it on faith. He says, get the coconut. I asked Suzanne, could you find a place to have coconut and bring 30-some bags of them? And so the person who probably looked crazy was her when she was asking for 30 bags of this or buying it in bulk. So all I know is he had made that request. It was very simple to implement. I thought, what the heck? Coconut in the morning. And, of course, there's, you know, from a left brain standpoint, a few people pointed out that, you know, eating coconut's not only good for you, it can help you lose weight. Because there's some element in the coconut fat. Somebody, he may know better, John may know better about that. That helps you actually lose weight. It's metabolizing something in your body. I don't know. All I know is Dr. Len said, have me eat coconut. Yes, and look how it's worked, because you have all been clear from the moment you've arrived. You know, even at dinner last night, because I wasn't sure how that was going to go, because it wasn't very long. You were just meeting each other. Man, everybody just buzzing. You know, and I sat at one point and just listened to the chatter, because all of you were sharing, you were talking, you were exchanging information, ideas, business cards, whatever it happens to be. So some clearing has taken place on some level, and I know of that one. Yeah. So I got a 20 out of the class then? Wow, man. I don't think I've ever had a 20. Yes.
For example, when you are not completely sure that you are clear about what you want for the next year, how do you work with it?
Yeah.
Get completely clear.
Okay. I don't think you need to know. I don't think you need to know what's going to be going, what you want for the next year. I think what you want to know is what's going on in this moment. And I know that in the Japanese culture, they talk about setting goals that are 300 years out. Man, I cannot fathom it. I have no idea where they're coming from, how they pull it off. It's a different culture, it's a different mentality. I don't know anything about that. I really believe that it's in this moment that you're choosing, based on inspiration, what's next for you. out of this moment, something else is going to come, you will choose again. I really believe this is a lot like when you drive your car at night, you have your headlights on, you can only see 100 feet, 100 yards, whatever it is, down the road. But you drive that little bit of distance, and you can see the next 100. You drive that little bit of distance, you can see the next 100. And so you're taking it moment by moment.
So if I get it clear, you have to be, you have to clear your goals for each moment, for the moment that you are living. Forget about the goals for the 3 months ahead, 6 months ahead.
Okay. Well, I like what you're asking because I like where it's coming from, but I think we're starting to get a little too heady over it. I think it's more a matter of being in this moment and choosing what would be fun for you to have in the next few moments, whether that is going to be tonight, next week, the next 3 months, as far down the road as you see. But at the same time, as you do that, you want to be open to feedback. Because you may say that I want a goal of having something happen by 1 year from now, whereas in 3 weeks or 6 months or 8 months from now, you'll see that is not what you want. So you have to be flexible. How many of you decided on your career when you were a teenager? You were in high school, you know, you decided on something. I want to be a doctor, I want to be a baseball player, whatever it happens to be. It was Wayne Dyer who pointed out that you were an immature teenager who was deciding your entire life direction when you were 15, 16, 17, 18, or early in college. Of course you can relook at it later. You know, you're wiser, you got much more experience, much more training, education, whatever it happens to be. Take another look. I would say it's the same thing. Yeah. I don't want you or myself or anybody to be cornered into doing it a certain way because you made a decision for that 2 years ago. It's open for new input. Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, I was going to begin this event. You know, I told you I came unprepared, and in my head I had so many openings, you know, so many ways to start it. And I thought, boy, I got an opening because I got like 50 of them. But after I get through the opening, I don't know what's going to happen next. It was entirely free form. But I remember thinking to myself, one of my openings could be something to the effect of, uh-oh, I'm losing it already. What were we just talking about? Thank you. That triggered it. I swear I've not opened the tequila. I've been eyeing the tequila. It's osmosis. It's probably empty by now from osmosis. So one of the questions I was going to ask, thank you, because I triggered it and it stemmed from you, is can your entire life be changed in a moment? Yeah. And I believe all of you would agree to that. I see everybody nodding their head. Not everybody on the outside out there would agree to that, but I know that there have been movies that, you know, are an hour and a half long, and not just The Secret, but some other mass popular movies that I've seen. Back to the Future was one of them that deeply influenced me, that awakened me that what I do now is going to change my entire life from here on out. You know, the decisions I make in this moment are going to change the following moment. And it came true for me when I watched that movie and realized, wow, he went back in time, he changed one thing, look what happened. So I wanted to begin this by pointing that out this whole weekend, and I'm only saying it now as a, for the funsies, I guess, because you're already past it, is the whole idea that we're only here for 2 days. But your entire life can change in a moment. So yes, all the goals, everything that you've been focused on, they can change. They'll be reassessed. You'll have new feedback, decide to go in a new direction. You may wake up in the middle of tonight and have a new idea of where you want to go, possibly around 3:03 in the morning. Oh, what a great group. Okay, other questions, comments? I not at a, because I wanted everybody to be at a 9 or a 10 for today. Or higher, 9 or, well, thank you, that's right, I've never said, or higher. 9 or 10 or higher. I've got a new way of stating. Yes, I got a new way of stating it now. Did you have your hand up, Craig?
Well, first of all, I really like the idea of what you were just talking about with the, what you're going to focus on with the headlights. It's something that I've struggled with. How many people here have heard of, you know, if you don't plan, you plan to fail? Hear that? Your goals, very traditional. I've always struggled with that because they, well, what are you doing in 5 years? I'm like, how the hell would I know? Right? And it seemed like the wrong answer for those people. They say, well, then you're planning on going nowhere. And I know that we've talked about this before, and I thought I'd, you know, just bring that up and see what you were going to say about that.
Uh-huh. Well, more than what we've already talked about it?
What we're talking about, obviously, we have the vision of following the headlights and all that, but what would you say to someone who was to say, well, that flies in the face of if you don't plan, then you plan to fail, essentially.
Oh.
That specific idea, I just was inspired to say it. I don't agree with it
okay.
myself. I just thought I'd bring it up.
Okay. Yeah. I've asked Dr. Len things to that nature, you know, about planning and expectations and everything in that domain. And he's very much of the mind, no expectations, no planning. I just show up. It's much like the luxury car salesman that's with him that I met, Marvin, who says, I just show up. I just show up. And I'm cleaning all the time. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. Constantly cleaning, constantly touching his little Seaport button, you know, to remind himself about the cleaning. That's all he is doing. There is no, I'm planning for today, I'm planning for this week, I'm planning for next week. Now, when he gets up in the morning, there's something of a plan there because he knows he has to be at work at 9 or 10 or whatever it happens to be, you know, but beyond that, he's not overly planning it. He's allowing room for the universe to move or the divine to enter and inspire us to go in a different direction.
Since experiencing this a couple weeks ago and now at a different level, deeper, all my day-to-day stuff is really just falling away. You know, I mentioned just a little more ease with the kids, and which is really wonderful, yet I'm really not inspired or wanting to do what I've been doing, and I'm doing nothing. And there's a little bit of the ego and panic of, you know, I've got to make money, I've got a family to feed, and my husband needs support, and I in a way just want to just keep practicing and releasing and not do the things I've been doing. Mm-hmm. So we talk to that?
I totally understand where you're coming from because, and I keep standing over here so everybody can see me in case you're wondering why I keep backing over here. A couple things that are going on. One is, and again, this is coming from Dr. Len, and also you hear it in different spiritual traditions, the only goal that we're supposed to have is to go back to the whiteboard. In other words, seek the kingdom of heaven first and all else is added to us. That is a Christian way of defining the same thing. What Dr. Len and others are saying is that we want to go to source. From source, everything else will happen. From source, we will be inspired to hold a manifestation weekend, or we will be inspired to find these special hand-painted books and get them for everybody here. You know, any number of things may happen from being inspired and being one in the moment with the divinity. I already know a little bit more about you from what you shared last night, and I don't know about the story of doing some of the things you don't want to do anymore, but I also know you have a passion for that ebook that you have there and about the feng shui for bedrooms. A very hot, stimulating subject in a lot of variety of ways. And I gave you an idea last night on how to promote it. Yeah, she's going to hold it up. This is her infomercial moment. Change your room, is that what it said? Change your room? Change your room, change your life. And I sensed a lot of passion coming for that. I find that passion is a good indicator of where your connection is to the divine. And I'm not quite sure how to explain that, but we've all heard people like Joseph Bliss or Joseph Campbell saying, follow your bliss. And I say, follow your enthusiasm, follow your passion. That's your inner compass telling you that's the direction to go in. That is what I have been finding to be the answer, the source. It may involve dramatic change. It may not involve dramatic change. But if you're at source, you're at peace during the dramatic change because you're in the center of the cyclone, so to speak. Yeah. Does any of that make you feel better? Okay. Well, he just raised his hand because it may all be ruined. I'm glad that you can take it well.
Yes, I'm going to beat you up after this.
Right.
I was going to speak to, not to shift subjects here, but to speak to the question about setting goals. And this is a kind of a question back to you, Joe. What do you think about the concept of, rather than saying, where am I going to, you know, what do I want in 3 months, what do I want in 6 months? Because I'm like, you know, who the hell knows, right? How do I want to feel in 6 months? What feelings do I want to have manifested in my life? And what kind of contributions do I want to see from those feelings in others? Not necessarily goals, but just feel, you know, those are all like just more feeling-based. I mean, is there any thought on that?
Yeah, I would directly go with the feelings because even when you're writing in that magic journal that we've all had, yes, I thought you were pretending to be the Pope there for a second. I bless you. Feelings is where your connection is. It isn't thought. That's why meditation is not what you think. The feelings are going to take you a closer step to source. when you're writing in your manifestation journal, your magic journal, whatever you end up calling your little baby here, what you want to do is come from feeling. It's not so much the thought. The thoughts might express the feelings, but the feelings are far more important. The feelings are the fire, the emotion that activate the very thing that you want. And I think from a biochemical standpoint, feelings send a message into your subconscious mind or your unconscious mind that gets in there and gets noticed, gets lodged better than just saying the words. So the feelings are far, far more important. That's why when you're writing this, you want to write it with feeling, as if it's already done. That's your request of the divine. You're petitioning it, saying, I'd like it to go this way, or if you've got something better for me, I'm open to it. Yes, you get a mic.
The goal setting and the dates, but you were talking about in the notebook, in the magic notebook, to not date it.
Yeah.
And that's the first thing I did was I dated it a year from now, and it's like, oh, scratch that out. And then it's like, I can't say a year from now, because then that puts me in the now, thinking of a year. So I'm having a hard time.
Oh, but you can do it that way. You can if you want. If that felt fine for you and you seem to be inspired in a moment, you can do it that way. When I did the vision statement for the Mental Toughness Institute that I was in, and they had us write a vision of how my life is 1 year from now, they had me date it 1 year from today. Is today the 20th or 19th or something? So it would be 1 year, 2007, on the same day, and I would have written out my whole vision of how I wanted it to have passed over the last year. You can do it that way.
Okay, so maybe I should say 1 year from today's date.
You can write the actual date of 1 year from today.
Oh, okay. All right.
So if today is May 20th or whatever it is, you can say 2007.
Okay.
Of 2007.
I have a question to see if you can connect the practical to the clear blue sky.
Okay.
So if money loves action and we want to clear things and we don't want to get wrapped up in projecting too far ahead goals because we're sticking to the feelings, it seems to me a good way for me to be in the moment but also feel, not let any resistance come up because I'm just in the moment, that if I'm doing the I love you and clearing and tuning into the whiteboard to just be, the word that comes to mind is a blank slate and let it come, then that's a way, in that moment, I can let the goals come because that's the inspired action. Probably goal is the wrong word because it's got too many connotations, it's charged. But let the inspired actions come and then put in the money loves action piece or prosperity or abundance, whatever it is, loves action piece. And when that inspiration comes, then I take the action.
Yeah, you take the action when inspiration comes. You've stated your intentions, you've written out your magic journal, you're doing your best to be at the whiteboard, the Z-zone, whatever you want to end up calling that place, and you are on the alert at that point. You are on the alert, which also ties into being in the moment. You want to be in the moment all the time. Not that any of us are, but that's our goal. If there's a goal, if you want to be in this moment. That's where everything is happening, here. So you are on high alert, wondering, where is it going to be coming? And it might come from something somebody says here. Or it might come from one of the books you're going to end up reading over the next few days. When it comes, when you notice that the person has showed up, or the item has showed up, or the clue has showed up, that's when you take action. But you only know it because you have that interconnection to that moment and to your goal that says, this is the signal. I am very intuitively driven when it comes to marketing. Even though I'm incorporated, I have my company, Hypnotic Marketing Inc. and all of that, I tell people I am a sole proprietor, meaning S-O-U-L, sole proprietor. And I am very aware of my connection to the whiteboard, to divinity, at all moments. So when people come to me, and you can imagine that I'm getting all kind of people, Suzanne can tell you, that are contacting me either directly or through her for JVs, for proposals, for ideas, for business arrangements, all of this. I'm always looking within myself for the signal. I'm always looking to say, is this the one? Should I go with this? There was a guy recently, Craig, help me remember his name. Is it Spencer? Spencer, somebody who did this video campaign. He came out of nowhere. He promoted a whole bunch of stuff. Sterling Valentine. This guy came out of nowhere. A lot of people come out of nowhere, and they contact me, or they contact Suzanne. And I don't get the yes. I don't get the feeling. So my common answer is that, you know, tell them I'm busy, I can't get to it, I'm booked for a long time, which is also true. But if I get the yes that says, like Sterling Valentine, never heard of this guy before. But something about the email, email's pretty bland. How can you pick up anything from an email? Somehow, psychically, intuitively, however you want to call that, I pick up something that says, yeah, follow through. Follow through on that one. Well, I have to follow through on that one. That's my agreement to the universe. You know, they're sending me the signal, I follow through. I follow through with this particular guy. He turns out to be an incredibly wonderful person, very creative, very fun-loving. He had taken the time to know more about me so that when he sent a picture of himself, he sent a picture of his cat, knowing that Narissa and I like cats and that I would look at it and I would laugh. And so when he wanted a picture of me for the promoter's website, I sent a picture of one of our cats to him. You know, and we just had this playfulness that was going on. All of these were further signals that this was the right track to be on. I do that with marketing. People will send me something and say, can you mail this on the 21st? Or, you know, we had to do a mailing, I think, for Mark Joyner yesterday, wasn't it, for his book campaign, which went to number one almost instantly, by the way, his book, The Great Formula. I get one from Mark who's saying, can you do this mailing on the 19th? Everything says yes. Everything based on past experience with him, everything based on my own marketing know-how and my intuition saying, yeah, go ahead, do that. Somebody else says, and there was another one recently doing a similar campaign. This guy had all kind of people lined up behind him. He ended up going to number one, too, on the Amazon campaign, but for whatever reason, I got a no. And so I did not support him. I did not promote his book. He was very nice about it. He wrote me a nice little letter. He thanked me for taking the time to consider it, which I love, because I hate it when people write back and are really upset because I chose not to support that. But I am coming from that connection to the whiteboard, the connection to the Z state, whatever you want to call that is telling me, do this project, don't do that project, do this email, don't do that email. What rationale is behind it? If I was backed into a corner, I'm sure I can come up with logical reasons of some sort that you would buy. But it's really coming, for me, it's coming from trusting myself and my source. That's how I do it from a marketing standpoint. I do the same thing, I'm sure some of you are aware of this, or concerned, or curious, when it comes to writing sales letters. My sales letters are intuitively written. I spent a lot of time on them. I did not on the Manifestation Weekend one. I've already admitted that. Everybody knows. But at the same time, you know, even the Manifestation Weekend letter, even if it didn't factor in all of my copywriting basics, my connection said, send that. Obviously, it still worked. So you can still violate some of the principles of what's going to be called good copywriting if you are connected to the spiritual source and you end up doing spiritual marketing, going back to the early title of The Attractor Factor. When you're doing spiritual marketing, hey, they may complain that the letter wasn't your best work, Joe, but they still showed up. They still bought. Yes?
In my magic journal, I actually had written down that I wanted to meet you. So when that email came across, it was so bizarre to me because, A, I just got the feeling that I don't think he does this. This is not something he really does. So, but I immediately knew I needed to go, even though I had reasons, real reasons not to go. But what's interesting about that email, because since you're speaking about it, is that if you spend any time on the internet these days reading the different people, maybe you're wanting to learn, I get to a point sometimes where they just all start to sound the same.
Yeah.
And I know that's probably going to, there'll be a demise somewhere around that because you can, I notice that the more I take in, then I get to a point where I just don't want to hear it anymore. I don't want to read it. It's all just a little different product, but basically it all sounds the same. But that email did not, and it just felt very, very real to me. It was so clear, but it just felt like, I don't know, it's like having a facade fall away or something, as though, because since I didn't know you, I just was able to connect in a very, because it wasn't a pitch, there's something about it, so, you know, for whatever it's worth, it was very great.
In The Attractor Factor and in spiritual marketing, I talked about marketing pieces that were like that, you know, people showing up at seminars based on a poorly done flyer. Yeah, ditto what she says?
Yes.
So there's more than what's actually being written, and I've said this in The Attractor Factor. There's an energy that's going in there. But going back to what you're talking about, that energy that's going in there is coming because not Joe personally, but Joe's connection to the divine coming through. It's coming through saying, this is the next thing for you to do, and then it's either me saying, no, I'm not doing it, which I block the whole flow off, and I think there are penalties and consequences if you don't let the flow come through. So the best of my ability, when it's coming through, even when I'm busy and say, I don't want to do another seminar, I say, okay, tell me what to do. And it says, send out this email, and I send out this email, and there's enough of the vibe in it, because that's not through me, it's not connected to me, it's connected through me to the divinity, touching the connection of the divinity in you to the divinity. There's that whole loop that comes together, and this is like metaphysical copywriting. This is, let me get, I gotta go get the domain name. Gotta watch Pat back there. Pat grabs domain names quick. Metaphysicalcopywriting.com. Pat now owns it. But that's kind of where it is for me. And I don't always talk about it that way, because it's like when you're going to invite me to come and speak about sales and marketing, I won't talk about it from that angle. Not unless you tell me that they're going to be open to it. But I will probably talk to them about the basics, you know, and how to do it from here's how to write the headline, here's how to write your first paragraph, here's how it looks when you're all said and done. Beware of the margins. You know, and I'll look at all of those things. I might sneak in something like, if you don't sincerely believe in your business, it's got to show up, no matter what word you put there. But I won't directly talk about, well, on a psychic level, you know, the quantum physics area, they're going to pick up that, you know, your energy is not in alignment with it. I won't go there. So it depends on the audience. But I'm glad you brought that up, because that really is a secret to how I do business. And I have found that I've had to cut out all the things that weren't fun for me. Suzanne heard me speak. Was it at the library where I talked about the tax stuff? I spoke at the library in Wimberley, and I was telling people there that my income went up like 15 times what it had been when I quit trying to do my own taxes, which was a tremendous drain on me, but it was Joe trying to control everything. And I got incorporated, I went to corporate attorneys, then I turned over the books to their bookkeepers. And I suddenly realized that, wow, and I looked, like, where's all this money coming from? You know, even they told me recently when they were filling out my taxes, like, man, you've got some good years coming here. And they said, you ought to open up and spend some more of your money. You know, these are tax attorneys, corporate people telling me to go out and spend my money. And this is coming from me, I think, cutting the cords on the things that weren't fun for me to do, that were a drain on me, giving it to the people that do think it's fun, so I am free to be in alignment with the divine. You know, the divine is saying, you know, it isn't fun for you to do the taxes, so why in the world are you doing it? There are people who consider it fun. Give it to them. And Suzanne recently heard that, and you turned it over, or you went to a bookkeeper or something, yeah.
Well, first of all, I'm excited about what's going to happen next week.
Oh. You
know, there's been some real shifts and some changes, I know, within me personally, and I think within the room. I would request, if it's applicable, that we could submit to Suzanne some of the results of this weekend. The so what? So what happened?
Yeah.
So, and then she could share then if we're, you know, with the rest of us.
Is that okay with you?
Because I got excited. I want to be able to write her saying, you'll never believe this.
And I like, isn't that the good feeling right there? Yeah, that's great.
You'll never believe it.
Yes, I love it. I love it. That's beautiful. That's the feeling to anchor right there for all of us. That's the feeling. You can't believe what happened. You know, and imagining it from next week. Okay, we're down to the wire here. What do you want to do in the last 15 minutes? You want to break early? You have some questions? You want to tell jokes? Yeah, any of the books over there could be handed out. The ones that say don't touch. Yeah. That command worked. When you were asking about Neville, have you read this one, At Your Command? This is the very first book by Neville. And I found it cost me $500. It was on eBay. It was a first edition, very rare, signed by him. There were other people that were bidding on it, but I had already made up my mind they weren't getting it. So, and then I worked out a deal that I published it. I republished this book. And it is his first book. He talks about consciousness. And, well, the world is at your command. Yep. And everybody's getting one. They're going to come around here in a minute. So you're going to have plenty to read this evening or reflect on this evening. Right. You're also getting copies of How to Attain Your Desires, I hope. Is that going out somewhere too? How to Attain Your Desires, Part 1 and Part 2, which Craig and Amy have both really love. I know both of you like these. These are also books that I had found that were in public domain. Genevieve Bayran is a new thought inspirational writer who I absolutely love. I wish that there was more by her. Most people know about her one book, Your Invisible Power, but they don't know about these other books. And I found them, I cleared the copyright, I printed these books, and you're getting both of them, Volume 1 and Volume 2. These are very heady, they're very inspiring, there's some real keys to the universe in here.
This concludes Disc 3. Now please insert Disc 4.